You're listening to
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the South Africa Project radio broadcast on the All Nationalist Network. I'm Morris Gillette. I'm coming to you live from the state of Louisiana in the United States. Monica Stone is live with me on the call from South Africa. And we welcome you to the show. And we're just, here to discuss issues, political, religious, racial, that affect our race. And that's what we do here at the South Africa Project radio show. We discuss topics that are controversial. You know, topics that you won't find in the mainstream media. And if you do find the topic in the mainstream media, they hedge on the issues a great deal. They don't always bring forth light or truth. Nevertheless, how are you today, Monica?
I'm fine. I'm really grateful I can talk to all you people. Because we didn't have a landline for a few days, and all of a sudden somebody turned up to repair it today. They misconnected the cable. So this is Africa for you. I mean, you know, if we don't have load shedding, blackout or whiteout, what do you want to call it, with no electricity, then you don't have a telephone or the post office. So I'm grateful, and greetings to you all, and blessings, and all our sisters and brothers from South Africa send their best wishes to all of you over the world who's listening, who are not listening, and will listen to the archives. Thank you. And just keep on spreading the news and educating our people, because they really need it. And that's it. Otherwise, we're fine. And how are you, Morris? No. Oh, don't tell.
I believe we dropped a caller. I don't know what happened there. But nevertheless, perhaps she'll get back on here in a second. Forgive me for the delay there. You know, had a little technical difficulties there. Like I said, we are here on Saturdays, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time if you're in the United States. If you're in South Africa, I believe it's 5 o'clock in the early evening. I think we have Monica back on the call. Oh, God, dog it. My phone keeps ringing.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay.
Call from.
I'm sorry.
3-1-8.
Okay, forgive me. I had to just unplug the phone. So,
well, you have to do it there. We have somebody else always unplugging ours. So yeah, I'm sorry. I was cut off. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well.
Well.
I hope it wasn't anything I did. Yeah.
No. This is normal here. I mean, it'll just go off, and like the electricity, as I said before, it's a load shedding, or we call it a blackout. That is racist, of course. So let's call it a whiteout. I don't know, but everything is just topsy turvy with race and everything. So can I tell you?
Yeah,
I mean, all over the world. It's just worse here.
Yeah. Everything's racist and everything's blamed on white supremacists, you know, white supremacism. You know, that's what they do here in the United States. The niggers riot in the cities and burn their own towns down, and it's because of white supremacism, you know. White supremacists forced us to burn our towns down. They forced us to loot and rob and pillage and kill and hurt and destroy. You know, those evil white supremacists made us do this. You know, whatever happened to being responsible for your own actions? You know?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I was taught that as a young man growing up, both at home and in school, that part of maturing was being able to accept responsibility for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's too much to ask for these immature adolescent Negroes who have had everything handed to them all their life. You know, it's too much to expect for them to mature and act like adults. They do act like adults, but they just happen to act like adult apes and chimpanzees, and you know, I mean, the kind of stuff that these people do, you know, is just comparable to the monkeys in the cage at the zoo. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to the zoo where the monkeys come up to the cage and they hang on to the bars and they'll urinate on you, or they'll throw feces at you. You know, well, that's they'll run around the cage and scream and holler and throw stuff around. Well, that's pretty much what the Negro does. You know, so if they act mature at all, they act like mature animals. And some animals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm listening to you, and it's true, but it's not fair to call them animals. You know, animals really behave much better.
Yeah, it's not fair to the animal kingdom, is it?
No. Mm-mm. No. No.
But
it's not.
Nevertheless, yeah, everything everything falls at the white man's feet every time, you know, and this is their justification for the things that they. It's always our fault, and it's always we're always responsible. Coming in and cleaning up the aftermath, you know, throwing a bunch of money on the property, rebuilding the cities and everything that the Negro has destroyed. Well, you know, that's not going to fix the problem. You know, there's an old saying, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. You know,
yeah.
And as long as we allow this to take place, and to continue, and then reward it with new homes, new buildings, new streets, new stores, more money being sunk into the community there, you know. And I'm thinking about Baltimore, Maryland. You know, there was $1.8 billion of stimulus package that went into Baltimore when Obama created his stimulus, and where did the money go? They have no idea where one red cent of this $1.8 billion went. And it's just the same here in America as it is in South Africa. Wherever you have Negroes in place of authority, in a position of power, where they have opportunity to get their hands on the money, you know, you give them access to the bag, you know, just like Judas did, you know, he carried the bag, you know, and Look what kind of rascal he turned out to be. You know, so when we give these Kaffirs access to the bag, access to billions of dollars to the bank accounts that are supposed to be used to for the best betterment of the community, and they take it and they steal it, well, you know, that's just normal behavior for them. That's just common.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have, you know.
Yeah.
There was a mayor here in Louisiana a few years ago, a mayor of Jonestown, Louisiana, or Jonesboro, Louisiana. You know, the townspeople there was almost $500,000 of taxpayers' money that was missing. And the mayor, being the mayor, he was being asked where this money was. And he couldn't give a reasonable answer, so they put him under investigation. Well, you know, a nigger being a nigger, you know, he started crying racism, and he called in the NAACP
mm-hmm.
to have his back, you know, that the investigation was racist. They were only doing this because he was black. And the result of the investigation was that mayor is now in prison, you know. So he was stealing the money. And this cry of racism, you know, works for them, by and large,
mm-hmm.
predominantly the better part of the time. The cry of racism works because our people, nobody wants to be labeled a racist, you know. Oh, don't call me
mm-hmm.
a racist, you know. How much money can I give you? How many times can I allow you to steal from me? How many
mm-hmm.
of our children do you want to murder and rape? You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll send it all your way. Just don't call me a racist. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we do. If you always did what you always do, you'll always get what you always got. And as long
exactly.
as we continue to placate these animals, to placate the Negro, they won't learn a thing. They won't mature into responsible adults because they're not held accountable. They're not held responsible. That's the difference between you and I, Monica. We were raised and brought up to be responsible for our own well-being and our own decisions. You know, if I make a decision to go out here and loot and rob and riot and burn, or if I make a decision to go out here, attack a policeman, try to take his weapon away from him, rob a liquor store or whatever, and I get shot and killed because of my actions, that was a result of my actions. That wasn't a result of a racist policeman or now even racist guns. You know, guns are racist. You know, just like the lightning in South Africa is racist because it kills more black people. You know, so the lightning is racist. Isn't that one of the cries in South Africa, that lightning is racist because it kills more black people? Well, it just so happens there's more black people South Africa than there are whites, and
exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it only stands to reason, you know, the odds are, you know, that if lightning strikes, odds are that it's going to strike a black person before it will a white person, because the odds are greater. There are more blacks, you know, like it's like putting a thousand white marbles in a jar and 100 black marbles in a jar, and you shake it all up and you close your eyes and you reach in and you grab a marble. Chances are, because there's 1,000 white marbles and only 100 black marbles, chances are 10 to 1, that you're going to pick a pull out a white marble.
That's it.
You know, I mean, that's elementary. You know, that's a reasonable assumption to make. It's called playing the odds. You know, that's why people gamble. You know, that's why if you go to Las Vegas, Nevada, and gamble, well, chances are you're only adding to the wealth of the casino because the cards are stacked against you. Anyway, what do you think about all this, Monica?
Well, that is so normal. Everything here has been blamed on apartheid. I mean, since 1652, we gave the blacks a bad deal. They were not even in the country, but that's not the point. The point is that Jan van Riebeek, when he landed in the Cape, was white. So then their misery started when the white man came. Now, interesting that they last week or the week before decided to really push these black businessmen by giving them billions of rand to start businesses and to compete with the mine magnates and the Oppenheimers and the Rockefellers and so forth. But if we are so equal, why can't they get to it by themselves? Why must this money be given to them? I mean, it's also a well-known fact. You know, when Mandela was released, the British gave him something like £10 million to start with. Now they're fighting about who's going to inherit it. And when he says, well, it belongs to her, and the rest of the family says it belongs to them. So it goes on and on and on. But why do they give this money to these black people they put into power? It's because they make them stooges and they can manipulate them, like Mugabe. I have so many people asking me, so why and how can he stay in power? Of course he can stay in power because they keep him there. He's a nice idiot to keep there because they can manipulate him and they use his soldiers to fight the war in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And interesting, the other day I saw in the news that Executive Outcomes, that is the equal of Blackwater, or what do they call them now, academia or something like that. Blackwater's name changed. But it's mercenaries. And they now gave chase to Boko Haram and they destroyed him. Did they really? And who are they fighting for? Who's paying them? And now they're pushing this issue that Ibn Barlow and Executive Outcomes came out of the South Africa Defense Force, the apartheid era, and now fighting in the north against this horrible Boko Haram. Why don't they fix the problems here? Why must we go up there to fight a man with the name of Boko Haram? It's got nothing to do with us. But somebody is paying somebody else to do their dirty work. And somebody is making lots of money. I met some of these Executive Outcome men, and I'm telling you, they gave me the cold shivers. These mercenaries are so after the money, they don't care who they kill. I saw in the corner of this office was a golf bag, and I asked this man, so, you play golf? He said, no, I carry my AK-47s in a golf bag. These are the people we're dealing with, Executive Outcomes and Blackwater. So the government gets scot-free from whatever they can be accused of because they used mercenaries to do their dirty work. This is how they started the French Foreign Legion many years ago. But, I mean, this is just saying how they twist the media and make these racist arguments. I listened to David Manning the other day. He said, we will never, ever solve this problem with the Negro race because we cannot even mention the word Negro, then you're a racist. So how can we discuss any issue in solving the racial problem? We can't do it because the white man is disadvantaged because he cannot say that. They can, of course, say they hate the white people and we're going to kill so many babies, like the Black Panthers now threatening to attack the white nurseries killing white babies. If we're saying that, my goodness, what's going to happen to you? They will hang you at the first lamppost.
But you know what?
These people can say whatever.
Them niggers aren't going to do anything. Yeah. You know, that gizzard lip piece of garbage ain't going to do nothing but get up and run his mouth, you know? But you know why? Because he's a coward. Only a coward would threaten women and children, you know, at nurseries and baby things like that. You know?
Exactly.
Those niggers never pick a warrior's target. They talk about being warriors. We're going to start a race war. Well, I wish you'd get busy with it, nigger, you know, because that'll be all it takes, and that'll be the end of you. Because the white folks in this country will come out and destroy you. You don't have any idea what you're up against. Tattooed monkeys, you know, acting like they're some kind of militant force. They got no idea. You know. They don't have any idea.
Sorry, Gary, I interrupted.
No, that's okay. I get a little worked up. I think about the Black Panthers. You know.
I know what you're saying. You know, I just wanted to say, isn't it amazing? They want to kill the white babies, and they're prancing around in uniforms and AK-47s or what weapons they have. Everything from the shoes they're wearing or the boots they're wearing with the socks and everything is made by the white man.
Right.
Why don't they take
exactly the
spears or the clubs that they used 100 or 150 years ago? And then we'll see. But you have these white liberals giving them these uniforms. I mean, here with Malema, he's in trouble now with South Africa Revenue Services, because he owes something like 17 million rand. Somebody else will pay it for him because they want him there, because he's a useful idiot to start a revolution here. And now he's a useful idiot, but now I'm going to be very nasty. But my people are even more idiotic. They're so stupid. I haven't seen anything like this. I can climb the walls with these people. They're so stupid. If you talk of giving to white people, then you're a racist. Well, why can't you give to the blacks too? They have a government giving to them. Our people don't get anything. They're living in camps, and if we don't take care of them, they're all going to die. But you worried about this black running up and down the street giving him money. Why are we doing this? I don't understand. Is it the terrible influence of the church? And I think Zuma made a remark the other day that Christianity really destroyed this country. And yes, this liberal Christianity that we hear from the Judeo-Christians, yes, it destroyed my country.
It's destroying the United States,
destroying Europe and all of it.
That's not Christianity, that's Judaism. You know?
Exactly.
There's no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. You know, it's a conflict of terms.
Judaism
is an anti-Christian religion, you know. So how can you have anti-Christian Christianity? It's just absolutely absurd, you know. And to call Christ a Jew, you know, they all run around parrot this thing that Jesus was a Jew. You know, well, okay, so Jesus Christ was an anti-Christ Christ. Is that what you're saying? You know, and that is the logic behind that. If these people would stop and think for a minute about what Judeo-Christianity, the implications behind that phrase, it's ludicrous. You know, they need to read the book and study. What does the word say? Study and show yourself approved, a workman unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, right? Dividing the word of truth, and that's just, you know, we can put that in conflict or comparison to the Black Panthers wearing shoes and boots and carrying machine guns AK-47s, M-15s, whatever they may be. Those are products of the Aryan. You know, if you're so proud, Negro, you know, use the products of your own people's greatness.
Yeah.
You know, go out there and pick up a stick or a rock, because that's the best you can do. You know, never created anything that enhanced your own living standard. You know, maybe a mud hut to keep you out of the rain, you know, to be able to sleep in or what have you. But as far as technological advancements of any caliber, you've never been able to do it. You know, so humility goes a long way. You know, what the Negro needs to do is humble himself, and he doesn't have to grovel, but all he has to do is be humble, you know, and stay in his part of town. Stop bringing his crime and his drugs and his filth to white civilization, and be a humble African savage. Go back to the Congo. Wrap yourself in animal skins or grass skirts or whatever it is you're capable of creating for yourself. You know, be a humble African. Be an African, you know. Don't be a made up persona, a Hollywood created proud African rap star, you know, with driving the white man's limousines, driving the white man's Mercedes, driving the white man's Hummer, wearing the white man's threads, white man's shoes, white man's suits. Be a proud African. Go on and be all you can be. You know, anyway, it's so simplistic. It's not that complicated. You know?
No. Mm-mm.
Being rewarded for your own deeds, your own accomplishments, the things that you have coming to you. You know, my dad always told me when I was growing up, he said, son, you know, because as a young man, you know, all of us go through these growing phases, you know, and we have to learn from experience what life is about and how to conduct our own lives. And there were times when I was growing up that my father would see me, you know, living recklessly, you might say. And he would tell me that, son, the long trail is going to turn on you. You know, one of these days you'll understand what I mean by that, you know. And it was the action of being rewarded for my own behavior. You know, you know, if I lived a reckless life and was frivolous with my money, had no respect for my job, had no respect for my employer, had actually no respect for myself, had no respect for the electric company or the water company or anything like that, and didn't pay my water bill, then my water got cut off. If I didn't pay my rent, well, then I got an eviction notice, you know. And if I didn't pay my electric bill, then my electricity got off. It's a simple logic, you know. If you cut yourself and you don't stop the flow of blood, then you good chance you might bleed to death. You know, I'm not talking about a minor cut here, cut on your, you know, if you cut. Have a major cut an artery or something like that, and you don't stop the flow of blood, then you're going to bleed to death. You know, cause and effect. And
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's a really simple concept, but you see the communist forces behind all of these machinations of the Negro, and we see it in South Africa because Africa is ruled by the ANC, a Black African National Congress, a communist entity. And we see it here in the mm-hmm. United States, that communist organizations that are responsible for agitating the blacks. We saw it in Ferguson, Missouri, and we see it in Baltimore, Maryland, and we've seen it all throughout the so-called civil rights era here in the United States. Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, they were all schooled at the Franklin Institute, a communist training facility. So it's let's look at who's responsible for that. And we can't name the responsible parties like you were saying a few minutes ago. You know, it's like having a disease. You know, well,
yeah.
You know, you have a cancer, but we can't call it a cancer, you know. Well,
mm-hmm.
What are you going to call it? You know, if you don't call it what it is and you don't treat it accordingly, well, then that cancer is going to kill you, you know. So
exactly. Mm-hmm.
The problem that we have in the United States is paramount to the same problem that you have in South Africa. You know, we have mm-hmm. Zionist Jews, communist Jews, Jewish bankers, Jewish control of the media, Jewish control of our educational systems, our governmental bodies, our judicial system, and Jewish control of the Communist Party. They create all of this havoc. So let's name the problem and remedy the problem. You know, we have 3% of the people controlling the other 97%. 3% of the people calling the shot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's time that the 97% stand up and do something about it.
You would think, but the other 97% are so fractured. Dr. William Pierce, the chairman for the National Alliance, who died in 2002, he was a brilliant man. And he used to talk about it. Well, actually, he was an advocate for the white race. He was an advocate for the betterment of our people, you know. And he said that only 3% of Anglo-Saxons, 3% of the white race, are free thinkers. The rest
mm-hmm.
of them are
mm-hmm.
are what he termed as lemmings, followers,
yeah.
unable to
mm-hmm.
Think for themselves, unable to have independent thought and independent actions. You know, they were followers. Like I said, he called them lemmings, you know, and
mm-hmm.
like the Pied Piper, you know, he blew his little flute and all the mice and followed him, and that's how he ridded the city of the rodents. He piped them till they ran off of the cliff, and that's what lemmings will do. They'll follow the leader, even if the leader is running off the edge of a cliff. And so we have 3% of white people that are capable of independent thought, and the other 97% of our people follow the leader. So, and when the leader doesn't have your best interest at heart, and you follow him, what does the scripture say? We can turn to the words of Christ. You know, the blind lead the blind. They both fall into the ditch. So, really, it's really elementary. Anyway, I'm a You know what?
Yeah, but you know what? You're correct.
I forgot,
it's elementary for us. But so, oh, you've got to have the break. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I'm about 10 minutes late on taking a break here. Forgive me, folks.
Are you a white man? Are you maybe feeling lost with nowhere to go and don't think there is an organization that works for you? The American Nationalist Association might be that place after all. On the phone right now, we have our chairman, Mr. Rodney Martin. Rod, why would people want to join the American Nationalist Association?
Quite simple, Robert. The American Nationalist Association is an association for our people and our children's future. As the Attorney General once said, he advocates on behalf of his people, and we advocate on behalf of our people. It's time for our people to have their own national community and to advance our interests. That's what we're about.
See how you can join by going to ana-ann.com.
The Boer Voice, with your host, author, and leader of South Africa's Boer State Party, Mr. Koen Vermaak. For all the latest news and political developments coming out of South Africa that the mainstream media does not want you to hear, like the ongoing genocide against the Boer folk and other white South Africans, tune in to The Boer Voice with Koen Vermaak, Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, only on the American Nationalist Network.
Join us, 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. For National Front on ANN Radio, the voice of Britain's premier racial nationalist party.
The Atlantic Axis, with your host and political activist, David Jones. For all the latest nationalist news and developments coming out of the UK, tune in to The Atlantic Axis every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, only on the American Nationalist Network.
Okay, we're back, folks. Monica, the microphone is all yours.
Yes. Oh, you mean you've been on your high horse? I've got to be on my high horse.
I hope that wasn't a dirty trick.
No.
Okay, are you there?
You know, yes, I'm here. I'm just, really complaining about people being so stupid, and it's so true. Going on to Facebook that I handle every now and then because of lack of signal here. But then I realize how stupid people are, and they really don't even know who the enemy is. But they want to go to war. They want to do this, and they want to do that. And they don't understand anything. And they don't even know what communism is. But, of course, the African National Congress is national, you know. They use the word national. So they must be national. Not understanding how the Jews are conning them into thinking this or that or the other thing. I mean, I've been attacked by so many, but you can't think like this, and this is not true, and so forth. But anyway, and then, of course, fighting amongst each other. We don't have time to do that. If we don't stand together now, it doesn't matter what language you speak, we will go down together. Because what is the white race now, the percentage in the world? Maybe 8%? If? I have no idea. And the best of our stock go to war and get killed. So what came afterwards is really maybe not good genetic material. I don't know. But this is really a worry that they do not wake up. Maybe when God really starts shaking this world, they will wake up and understand. Because I don't think that any political party will do it. This is interesting. The Democratic Alliance here, of course, being ruled and advised by the Jews, the last leaders to Leon. Oh my, I can't remember his first name. But anyway, he was Jewish. Alan Ziller is Jewish. Now they've got the black leader with some unpronounceable name. I'm really not interested who he is, but he's got a white-appearing wife, beautiful girl with the name of Natalie. So he's not racist, he's got a white wife. And now they ask you your opinion about the new leader of the Democratic Alliance. They are all manipulated by the same people, like they do in the United States, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, being manipulated by the same people. Party politics will not save the day. But racial consciousness will save the day. Race is everything. The Israelis said that. Why can't the whites understand this? That race is everything. But they don't want to be called racist because that is really horrible. As you say, you can't say cancer is cancer anymore. But the racist thing is it's a cancer that is destroying our people. Because being a racist has got no defense. Who wrote about that? I think it was Edgar Seale, In Defense of Racism. So that's my story for today and my opinion. That we have to wake up to the reality, who's who, what's what, and stop feeling sorry for the underdog, because the underdog is destroying the upper class, the white people, who established everything and all civilizations on the planet of the earth. You know, Africa, of course, is the bedrock of civilization. It's where everything started. Eve was black, and now everything came out of Africa, and slightly we became lighter and lighter in color. But I cannot understand blacks living in Sweden for the past 100 years not getting lighter in skin. But you can't say that to a liberal because then you're a racist. I mean, I know I'm talking and babbling about non-entities, but the issue is here that people believe such nonsense because they want to believe it. It's easier than going into the truth and understand what's what and stand up for it. Because if you stand up, maybe you get hurt, or maybe it'll cost you money, or maybe you'll be alienated and you won't have any friends. So be it then. So now I'm getting off my horse and give it to you, Morris.
Well, it's all very interesting what's taking place around the world. I did see the news article where, if I understood it correctly, these were retired South African soldiers that have became mm-hmm. mercenaries. These were the fellows that destroyed Boko Haram in where was it at? Was it Nigeria or
Nigeria? Yes. Mhm.
Okay, and I thought that was rather interesting, and I don't know how true it is. Maybe Maybe they just
no,
And you know, and Boko Haram or Boko Haram or ever how you want to pronounce it, they're relatively a new entity on the scene of terrorist networks, and I mean, it seems like, you know, that these terrorist organizations just crop up out of nowhere, you know, like ISIS. All of a sudden we have ISIS, you know, and then it was Boko Haram. And, you know, and then before that it was Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and so on and so forth. And I don't know. You know, where do these people come from? You know, and they seem to be well armed, well funded, and they seem to be able to go where they want, do what they want. And I don't know. It just seems to me, you know, that there's a little bit more than what meets the eye. Things are not always as they appear.
No, I agree with you. Yeah,
yeah. It's just a real curious thing, and I noticed this morning that one of the ISIS leaders was killed in may have been Syria. I'm not really sure, but President Obama was the one that directed that this ISIS leader be killed, and it's just very odd and very funny to me that, you know, all of a sudden ISIS is on the scene and their main target are allegedly Christians. And so
yeah.
What? And I know, I understand that it is the Judeo-Christian world here in America. You know, I'm familiar with that because this is where I live. But I know it's a Judeo-Christian world here in America that largely supports Israel. And maybe that's why ISIS targets Christians, because it's the Christian world that supports the Antichrist nation of Israel, which is really baffling to me. But I guess that's only because I've read the book and I understand what actually is taking place. And it's hard for me to fathom why we have ISIS that attacks Christians, but they don't attack any Jews. You know?
No, it's interesting, yes.
Yeah. And then we just had this Jew, Pamela Geller, here in Dallas, Texas, that put on this art show where these artists, you know, I guess they were had a contest, you know, who could create the most insulting cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad, which is, you know, of course, Islam's Islam's prophet, you know, comparable to our Christ. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, they say we have free speech in America. Okay, yeah, we have free speech in America. But what about respect? What about common respect? You know, I'd be willing to wager that you couldn't go to any American city and create an art fair, an art show, where you were offering prizes to the person that created the most insulting cartoon of
Netanyahu.
Yeah, Netanyahu or Meyer or what's her name, Golda Meir, or one of these other Jews that they that they want to worship. What would be the outcome of that? You first of all, you wouldn't be able to do it. Just as soon as somebody caught wind of what your art fair was about, pressure would be put on the people that own the facility that you have reserved to hold your fare at, and they would tear up their contract and possibly return your money. They might keep your money and mm-hmm. still not let you hold your art fair, you know. So it just seems to me like Pamela Geller was out to, instigate some trouble. And, you know, she was patting herself on the back because she said, well, we got two of them. Two of them are dead. Those two guys that won't be able to hurt anybody else, you know. Well, why don't we eliminate the problem at the root, you know?
Yeah.
It's people like Pamela Geller and her cohorts that agitate people, you know, into behavior that is not beneficial to anyone.
No, exactly.
Except the agitators.
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't it true that people don't ask who's gaining with anything? I mean, the only people who will gain with a full-scale war between Muslims and Christians will be the Jews.
Yeah, right. And all sorts of ways. Financially, you know, because they're the war profiteers. You know that they own the companies that make the uniforms, make the weapons, make the tanks and the fighter jets, and so they'll profit in those ways, and then they'll profit by what is actually gained from the actual war itself, whether it be territory, oil reserves, power. So you're right. Follow the money trail.
Yeah. You know? Follow the money trail. Always. But you know what's interesting, going back to Nigeria, they always say that the Muslims are killing the Christians in Nigeria. Being black, I don't know how Christian you can be, but that's besides the point. But they don't take in consideration that Nigeria has more than 400 different tribes. They speak different languages. They always hate each other. They will always fight each other. It's like in South Africa. We've got 15 different tribes here. But the Zulu cannot get on with the North Sotho or the Xhosa or whomever. They always fought each other. The white man kept them apart. But, of course, that's a racist remark. You can't say that. End of story. So is it really a Muslim killing Christians there, or is it just tribe A killing tribe B because of for power, for money, for political gain, for territory, you name it? Because they've been doing it for ages. I mean, just leave them to be. So the black race will kill each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is just a question. It's and I've been asking myself this so many times because it doesn't make sense. Why would they be Muslim, the blacks? I mean, this is an Arab religion or a Pakistani or Indian religion. It's got nothing to do with blacks. They believe in ancestor worshipping and voodoo and things like that.
Right.
Not easy.
It comes from manipulation.
Yes, exactly. But it's easier to say that we have a Muslim problem in England and not a black problem. Because you can blame the Muslims for everything, but you can't blame the niggers for everything.
Right. Yeah, imagine that. That's a very great observation.
Yeah. You remember that Islamist? Are we running out of time?
No, we got a couple of minutes.
Oh,
but we got
okay. No, that's
three,
that,
two,
that's
two,
that,
and a,
that's,
two and a half minutes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, that that Muslim who beheaded that soldier with the name of Rigby in where was it? Woolwich in England. They also said
right.
He's a Muslim, and I mean, I looked at him and he's a Negro. It's got nothing to do being a Muslim, but it's easier to say a Muslim did it than saying a Negro did it.
Yeah, right.
Here we have the media again manipulating everybody's thinking, and they push them into thinking this way, and that way. I mean, we see it with all wars, don't we? How they manipulate the people in seeing the Germans as being the enemy, seeing the Boers as the enemy, or seeing this and this, but they don't really dig and ask the right questions and get the right answers. It's just accepting of what the this journalist is only for propaganda and
still villainize the German people.
Of course, yes, yes. Oh my goodness, it broke my heart to see how the Russians really celebrated the demise of Germany. I mean, you see all those white people? Oh, we won the war. I mean, come on, how many people died in the Second World War? First, second, and still dying. And we celebrate a victory of what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Destroyed your own brethren. So, anyway,
yes.
Monica,
yes.
Had a great time talking to you and discussing the issues. Hopefully, we touched a few ears and hearts. I sent you an email a moment ago that, you know, somebody that was on the call there, I did a trace on their number. It might be interesting for you to see who they were. So I shared
okay.
that with
I
you.
I will do. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And I'll come back to you about that.
Okay. I thought I was
okay.
playing some outro music here, but I guess, yeah, there it is. Okay. Have a good weekend,
okay.
everyone. Monica, God bless you. You be safe. We'll talk again
and,
soon.
Yeah.